And good morning to you. I hope that you enjoyed a wonderful July 4th celebration and you were able to enjoy maybe some family, some friends, and obviously some reflection upon our country. It's amazing how blessed we really are. You know, when you think of America, you think sometimes of the flaws and the frailties and sometimes the negative things, but I haven't been all over the world by any stretch, but I've had the privilege to go to 7 other countries, and there is no place like America. I am so thankful for the freedoms that we have, for the privilege we have to worship openly. I'm thankful for the market system that we have so that we can do anything we dream of in America. If we're willing to take the risk, pay the price, make it happen. And I'm thankful that even if we fail at times, we're able to start back over. We have been blessed truly as a country. I thank God for our forefathers who were willing to pave the way for us to have the freedoms and the rights that we have today, and for all those who have paid a price for us to enjoy these last 244 years as a nation. Well, today I'm going to ask you to join with me as we make a pledge to the flag today. I pledge allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I hope that in your heart you are thankful to God today. And I want to pray for our nation today, that God would bless us, that He would rejuvenate us, that He would unite us within each one of our hearts. Father, today we are so thankful that we live in this country. Lord, I'm thankful for the freedoms that we have been given. Lord, I'm thankful for the opportunities that we have been afforded. Lord, I thank you for even the troublesome times we have had to make us stronger. Lord, I pray for our nation today. Lord, I know there are many divisions. Lord, there are many issues and problems just like any nation would have. But Lord, I pray that we would turn to you. We would ask you for wisdom and favor. And that, Lord, as we have your blessing upon us, we would see much greater things happen. We thank you for the freedom of the gospel in our nation. And God, may we exercise the right to religious freedom you've given us. God, will give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to begin a brand new series today. It's in an Old Testament book that's not been probably read a whole lot. It's the third book from the end of the Old Testament. It's the book of Haggai. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. And so if you would turn there, we're going to be looking at that, and we're going through this series the next 3 weeks, this week and the next two, and we will be looking at a series called Reordering Our Priorities. Today's message title will be God Has a Way of Getting Our Attention. You know, priorities are really important. One day, there were 4 employees, and they were all going to the only copy machine in their area. Well, the first one was from accounts payable, and the person said, "We have to get our bills paid, so I should go first." Well, the next person was from accounts receivable, and she said, "If we don't get our receivables collected, we won't have money to pay the bills." Well, the third person came up, and he was the product manager. And he said, "Unless I sell something, we won't have any money to pay the bills." Well, the fourth person came up and she said she was from payroll, and everybody got out of the way. You know what? Everybody wants paid, don't they? Priorities, they really do matter. And we all have priorities in life. We may not always number them and say this and this and this, or some of us may do that. But the truth of it is what you do demonstrates what your priorities are, no matter what you say they are. And so it's very important to understand priorities and see what they are in your life. This book of the Old Testament, Haggai, as I said, is a very unfamiliar book. In fact, Haggai is only mentioned in that book, and his name is mentioned one other place in the Bible. That's it. He was a prophet to the Jews, and he had returned from exile in Babylon. If you are familiar with Old Testament history, you would know that there were a number of Jews that were taken to Babylon. Jerusalem was overthrown. And for 70 years or so, many of those grew up in that area. Later, there were some that were brought back, and they came back to the area. his recorded ministry, this minister of Haggai, is only mentioned for four months long in the Bible. That's as long as his ministry took place. So here's a point I want you to consider with this thought as we begin this series. You don't have to be significant to be used by God. If you yield to him for whatever he wants to do in your life, God will take you and use you in incredible ways. As I said, we don't know hardly anything about Haggai, but we do know that he was willing to be used by God in a way that God would take him and bless his life and bless the lives of others. And so I'm going to ask us to pray together, and then we're going to take a look at this passage today. Father, once again, we ask your blessing upon us. Lord, as we look into your word, may you use it to transform our lives, to challenge us, Lord, so that we will be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me give you a little background concerning this book. As I said, the last three Old Testament prophets, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, we realize in 536 BC, tons of years ago, way beyond our thinking, Ezra took about 50,000 Jews and he returned to the Holy Land from Babylon. So he brings all these Jews back to live in the land. They rebuilt the altar and they started sacrificing to the Lord again. And in 1 year later, 535 BC, the foundation was laid for a brand new temple. If you remember, the Temple of Solomon, the grand temple, was destroyed by the enemies as they came in. There was nothing left to it. It was a devastating moment for the nation of Israel. And there, as they began to rebuild this new temple, some opposition came against them. Some enemies rose up, and for the last 15 years, when we begin reading this passage, nothing further has been completed. And so for 15 years, they laid this foundation, and then they just quit working because they were fearful of what the enemy might do to them. Well, let's begin reading in the book of Haggai. We're going to look in verse 1, chapter 1. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not come yet to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses? Why this house remains in ruin? We see in this passage there is a problem. And the problem is this: the personal priorities of the people were taking precedent over the Lord's priorities. And so now God is trying to get their attention again to what he had sent them back to begin to do. The people of Judah had become sidetracked from doing what the Lord wanted them to do and what he had told them and they had agreed to do, to go back and to rebuild the magnificent temple God wanted them to have. Their attitude, well, hey, it's not time to build. They pushed it off, saying that hey, it's really not time. They were putting self ahead of God. Well, why was this such a big deal? The big deal was this was Old Testament days, and the temple was a reflection of where the people met with God. And so there was no temple there. There was no place for them to come around, at least to worship their God. And so the temple was the focal point for the ministry and worship of their God. And they said, hey, it's not time to build. By ignoring the rebuilding, they were in essence ignoring the spiritual condition of their own souls. They're saying, God, we don't really need you right now. We're back in the land. Everything's okay. I wonder if during our own time, you have been ignoring the spiritual condition of your own soul. You've been in quarantine for a while. You've been away from maybe more people than normal. And you've probably, some of you, have more time than you've ever had. And have you been developing the spiritual fervor within your heart? Are you focused on other areas at the expense of your spiritual life? You see, we need to reevaluate at times. We need to reset our priorities. And sometimes if we're not willing to do it, God has a way of getting our attention, just like he was doing with these people at that time. And so the Lord sends a rebuke to the people, and he does so with a rhetorical question. And that is this: is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? The usual building material they would use during that day was stone. It was just a common area. If you've been in Jerusalem, you know that there's a lot of arid places, and they would use stone to build. But these people had brought in some wooden panels, paneled houses, they called them. And they would make their houses very elaborate. Now, there's nothing wrong with having something nice. God doesn't say that. But what he was saying was, you are placing your priorities of yourselves over what I've asked you to do and what you've agreed to do. It is so easy to consider our own ways before the Lord's. It's so easy for indifference to spread out throughout our hearts. You know, indifference usually starts small and it slowly overtakes many areas of our lives. The things we used to do become things of the past. Maybe our regular time with the Lord each morning or each evening or whenever you might do it throughout the day. Maybe you used to be very involved in church, and after a while Wednesday night just sort of became old hat. Or maybe Sunday school or Sunday morning. And I know that right now we can't meet except Sunday mornings, but you get the idea of what I'm saying. That all those things that were at one time extremely important in your life have become less, much less important. You're allowing those areas to just become non-essential in your life. Maybe it's Sunday morning, you even become hit or miss. Maybe ministry is no longer important. Maybe you use the phrase, well, weekend is now our time. And you're missing out on the fundamentals of those things that you said at one time in your life were essential. They said, it's not time to build the temple. What a distancing they were giving from their God. You see, the truth is we need to reorder our priorities if that's us. There are times we're not blessed as we should be because we don't put God's desires before our own. What has allowed you to get sidetracked? Maybe you're not. Maybe everything's fine and you are just going strong. But I found that the tendency of most of us is to dissipate, to allow things to become slack in our hearts and our lives, unless we are determined to keep the priorities as we need them. And so, what have been those things that allow you to get sidetracked? No doubt most of us have great intentions to do right. God has moved in our hearts, and just as these people came back and built an altar and laid the foundation of the temple, so we have done the same. We've built the altar, we've begun walking the Christian life, our salvation in Christ, and a surrender to the Lord. But as problems arose, these people turned from where they should have been. Now they're just doing their own thing, hanging out, not really caring about what God cares about. Judah had pressure from nearby enemies, and even the king of Persia, who was controlling that area, decreed for them to stop, and they let the enemies get in the way. I wonder what some of those enemies of our lives may be. Maybe an enemy might be wrong focus. Our homes, our jobs, sports become more important than our relationship with the Lord. Or maybe it's lethargy. Hey, what's the use? Our culture's changed. We've lost the early passion for worship of the living God. And so, hey, why do we even do it? Or maybe it's procrastination. Well, now it's just not the right time. Have you ever heard somebody say that? And maybe they'll use the excuse, well, after I graduate high school, that's when I'm going to commit really strongly. And then maybe it's, well, after college. And then, well, after I get myself settled in my job. Or maybe it's something else as you start going further. After I have kids, then we'll get it together. Well, after the kids graduate. Well, after I retire. And all of a sudden, your life has gone right by you. And all those good intentions that you had earlier on in your life, or at some stage in your life, now are gone. And you look back with regret. Oh, I remember, sadly, some of my friends from when I went to college at Liberty University, and they had a heart and a passion in some of those days, and then I would hear, sadly, of some of them later years, and they had allowed things, whatever the thing might be, to get in their way of what God wanted them to do and what the passion they had in their earlier days. Oh, don't let enemies get in your way, too. Haggai, he gives the word of God to Zerubbabel. He was the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, who was the high priest. So he's giving the word to the political leader, he's giving the word to the spiritual leader, and the Lord begins dealing first with the leadership. He dealt with Haggai, he dealt with the governor, he dealt with the civic leaders. You see, the reason is because leadership is important. Leadership is drastically important. Those of you whom God has raised to positions of leadership need to make sure that you have a listening ear to what God is saying to you as far as your leadership capacity, where He has placed you, and then follow through with what He wants you to do. For all of us, if we're quiet before God and we're honest, the Lord will tell us our priorities, and He shows us what they should be. Here we see this group who had gone back to Jerusalem, and they were given the message, and they were to shout it out, and they were to build and work. They created problems by just diving in now to what only they wanted. We notice the second word today, and it's the word production. God was refusing to bless His people because of wrong priorities. You see, because of wrong priorities, everything they had or were working towards was not fulfilling. You ever been there? Seems like you're spinning your wheels, like you're trying everything and it's just not working out. Well, that's the way it was for these people during this time. In fact, it talked about it in verse 6. The prophet said this from God's word: "You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put your clothes on, but you're not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it." In other words, God just starts telling them about all the issues that they thought they were going to have, and none of them were coming to fruition. You see the results from God for their improper priorities. The Lord just said this: "You thought you were getting a lot, but it only turned out to be a little. And what little you ended up bringing home," He said, I blew it away. I just allowed it to go in the wind. Why? Because Judah was taking more interest in the lavishness of their own houses, their priorities, over the construction of the Lord's temple that was laying in ruins. The heavens were withholding its due. The earth was withholding its fruit because God was dealing with their people. God said, "I am the one who has called for a drought on the land, the mountains, the grain and new wine, the oil, and whatever the ground would bring forth, and even the amount accomplished from your labor." The Lord was helping them see clearly what was happening by being wrongly focused. You know, I think sometimes as Christian Americans, American Christians, we become more concerned about the nation's financial economy than we do the nation's spiritual economy. Now, I'm all for taking care. The Bible talks a ton about finances. But we're talking about priorities, the highest, and as you work your way down. Look where it's taken us. I wonder what would happen if we would reset our priorities to a spiritual nature. We see that word production. God was making everything they were trying to do, and it wasn't working out. Well, I'm thankful for a third word. That word is solution. We need to set the right priorities and receive God's blessing. That's really what He was telling them. God was telling the people a phrase. You'll see it a number of times in these passages. Give careful thought to your ways. In other words, He's saying, I want you to reset your heart. I want you to reorder your priorities. God was bringing them back to the main issue. Evaluate what's most important to you. And if it doesn't line up with what I have for you, how can you expect to get the greatest blessings from me? For Judah, that priority was to rebuild the temple. And it was a step-by-step process. God laid it out for them. He said, I want you to go up to the mountains. I want you to get the wood, bring it down, and build my temple. It was a simple solution. And yet, he gave them the steps for it. He said, your obedience will bring me glory. May I encourage you? He was saying, place your priority on me and my relationship with you and what I want accomplished. You know, you may be here today and all of a sudden you start resonating with this whole thought of where Haggai was saying the people were. My priorities have got out of kilter. What used to be most important to me really doesn't mean much today. And yet I know in my heart I need a change. Well, the truth of it is you may need to reset your priorities. So let me ask you today as we conclude this message, what matters the most to you in life? I mean the absolute most to you. What do you need to resume in your life between God and you? All of a sudden, the quiet Spirit of God begins to speak to your heart. He begins to speak softly in your heart because he wants to reunite with you. May I encourage you to set God as your highest priority and then watch the blessings flow again. Otherwise, we just go through life and we waste our time, we waste our energies for things that will not last beyond this life. Oh, may we learn from the people of Judah. May we take to heart what God was telling them because we're his people too. And he wants us to set the right priorities. There is no doubt God has a way of getting our attention. If we listen with a quiet voice, he will quietly speak to us. If we refuse to listen to that voice, he may get more vocal to get our attention. And he does it because he loves us. He created us to have a relationship with him, which we find, as we know, in his son, Jesus Christ. What is it God is saying to you today? Father, today we thank you for your word. We thank you for the message that is written in this small Old Testament book. But God, how meaningful it really is. Oh God, what would happen in our nation if your people would once again make you the absolute priority of their lives? Father, in the stillness of this moment, as you're speaking to hearts, oh Lord, let them not just have a sense of remorse. Let them have a sense that they want repentance and change in their lives. They want what they used to have and yet no longer hold dear. Oh God, bring relationship and rejoicing once again in their heart. Lord, we'll thank you. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We look forward to seeing you and being with you again next Sunday. So we encourage you to come back and be a part, whether you're going to be here with us or you'll be watching through our live streaming. Have a great day.